I, Vegeta, the Prince of all Saiyans, hereby command that you do not listen or subscribe to the Dragon Ball 4 Life podcast. Whatever you do, would you defy royalty? No! Bye!
And we back. What's up, lifers? We out of the hyperbolic time chamber with part two of our episode. One day turn into 1 week. 1 week turn into 1 year. But who cares? Because we're here. Bow. So, the moment we've been waiting for. Because like Ta-da. I said, me and Trav have probably been like D&D adjacent throughout our lives. Like, we know people who like it. You know, like, as it started to become like a more of a pop culture phenomenon, the movies and whatnot. It's very well known. It's not as more of a hidden love as much as very open. So, if you were to give a presentation, D&D for Dummies is obviously what we're going to call it. If you were to give just like a crash course for newcomers coming in, to like get the most fun, the most experience, where would you start? And are you allowed to say like what your rank is? Is that like a taboo thing to say out loud? I know people have like different ranks and like classes. Like,
that's all in game. You're good. Everyone, yeah, you're just.
I didn't know I didn't know if it stuck with you. I didn't know like if it stuck with you when you're done playing.
I'm a platinum dungeon master.
Yeah, I feel like people wear it proud even in real life.
Well, there are. There is a type of gameplay in which, yeah, you can have a traveling character where you can go and sit at other tables. But that's where you have to really stay with the rules. There's no homebrewing allowed. There's much stronger documentation because if you hop at a table, you're like, yeah, I brought this magical item. Like, hold on. That's a very powerful magic item that's going to break the game. Yeah, where did you get that sort of thing? And like, okay, if you're a level 15 and you're coming in and joining a table where they're all level sixes, right? It's a whole difference, which is why most of the time people start fresh. Everyone's at the same level. We're all approaching this together instead of doing much of the traveling. But traveling was really popular, especially if you go to game stores, right? Where they'd actually have setups, right, alongside the Magic the Gathering or Pokemon gameplay. So... Or those Warhammer 40K people.
Caters to everybody. Something for everybody here.
When you're starting fresh, right, you can play with experienced players, but everyone's going to start at the same kind of campaign level. When it comes to creating a character, yeah, there's a ton of tools out there, right? There's the player's handbook, which is a really great starting point, but it's thick. And if you hate reading, like me, I'm illiterate, right? Then that may not be the place where you begin. Instead, start with a character concept. Like, who do you want to be? How do you want to create them? Right. So I don't like playing humans, right? Like, I'm already a human. If I'm creating a game, I'll never play a human. In any of the video games, any of the stories I play, I don't like to choose
right?
humans.
Like, why? Like,
yeah, I'm like, spice it up. I've already been there. I have two arms. Give me something different.
For a day.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So I'm like, I want to play non-human and she's curious and she absolutely loves shiny stuff and she's bold
so
and loud. Yes. It. Yes. Yeah. Like, I want to play Crow. Turns out there are bird type characters. Perfect.
That's it.
Like,
you go, Matt.
But that's where it begins. People are like, there's so many. There are a ton of different species choices that you can have. So like Aarakocra is one that you might consider.
What'd you just call my mama?
Yeah, you know, tell her I said that about her. All right. But you can flavor it however. Like, and when you're working with your DM, like, I want to be a crow character. Like, okay, all right, we're gonna flesh it out as being an Aarakocra, or you can do a Kinku, right? Or whatever it is. Like, Aarakocra is bird type character, right? You got arms still, but you also got wings. Like, okay, maybe you want to be a parrot instead. You can flavor it that way. You want to look like an eagle. All right, cool. Doesn't matter, right? Like, start with what your visual is, and then we'll take the rules, right, the outlines, and we're going to make it work with what you want. That's the direct angle that should be how D&D works. Like, so you start with a vision, and then we take what's already out there, and we flesh it in something that's going to align with what you want.
Start from the bottom and build up into a phoenix.
Yes, exactly. Joaquin. That's the name of my character.
Joaquin Bottom. Joaquin Bottom is the name of this episode.
Yes. We have no chance. So let's build out Mr. Bottom here.
Let's build him up. We are building Bottom right now.
So start with it. Figure out your inspiration points. Like, maybe I want my character to have such a freaking positive attitude, can build anything. Like, perfect. I'm going to be Bob the Builder. All right, so when I look at that, Bob's pretty short, so maybe I'm going to play a halfling. Maybe I'm going to play a gnome. Maybe I'm going to build a dwarf, right? I can pick out changes like that. right? I'm going to have maybe an artificer, right? That likes to build trinkets and things like that. It first starts with, though, that idea. What do I want to do? How do I want to interact with the world? And then you find the species that aligns with that, that's going to give you the options that you want. Then you're going to find the class that allows you to take the actions that you want. Oh, I don't want to get close. I don't want to touch people. All right, we're going to look at probably more magic items then, right? You're going to do more ranged spells that we're going to look at. But it starts first with that, because if not, there's so much. There's too much that you have to look at. You're going to get bogged down at reading and all of the different options that you're not going to be able to even get into it. Start there. So, all right, if we're building out Bottom Phoenix, Mr. Bottom, what what kind of character do you all want to build? Let's co-create together.
All right, best, right. Well, how we feeling? Okay. How we feeling, bro? So, yeah. What do we go first? We go.
Give me a visual. She's first. Describe. Yeah. Yeah, give me a visual. What do you want to look like?
What are our species that we can, you know, what
anything.
About what
we want? Listen, I'll flavor anything. Like, if you're like, I want to be a moose. Is there a moose character in D&D? No, but we're going to change it. Right?
There's an elephant.
Yeah, there's an elephant-like
Joaquin
species.
Joaquin Bottom's a moose.
Yeah, he's a moose. I'm going to take the stats from the elephant species, and I'm just going to say, all right, you're going to use those same stats, but you can always describe yourself as a moose character.
Ah, okay.
Can we use our antlers for battle?
Yes. We'll turn that on. Oh. So as a DM, right, this is where I get to lay into my homebrew option. So a good DM will say, like, you want to use antlers? Okay. Well, because if you play a cat-like character, like a tabaxi, right, you have claws, and you can attack with your claws. It's an unarmed strike as you go with your claws. So yeah, we'll flavor it just like that. It's an unarmed strike where you go and use your antlers to attack.
Absolutely. And like our antlers, like we take them off.
Yeah,
and
you
like,
take them off, and we got like double swords now.
Yeah, can they like that?
How often do you know what? I'll make it. So that's where this is the important part. I love what you're doing, because most of the time people think like this is the solo experience. Talking to your DM is like, okay, if that's what you want to do, yes, I'll allow you to do it. But it's going to take you at least 6 episodes for your horns to grow back.
Oh,
you can't just stick those suckers. Okay. So there's a consequence.
Okay.
Can you do it? Yeah. With anything, like, it's a recharge time. Like, there's so often that we can
cooking
come back
with
to
gas.
This.
Cooking with
yes,
gas.
Yes, okay. Yes. So, like, all right, you want to be a moose character? All right, perfect. So we're going to choose. It also sounds like you want to do actual attacks. So, like, you don't want to go far away, right?
Man, no, we're in the trenches.
You're in the trenches, yeah, so you want to be faced up. All right, maybe then we go in terms of paladin or barbarian.
Ooh.
If you want to be right up into this, like you want to be hitting hard when you roll the dice, you want to roll a lot of dice. You want to see a ton of damage, that kind of visual. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting at, right?
Okay.
All right.
And since there's going to be such a long time of recharge after we take off our antlers to use to attack, would it be safe to assume that when we use our antlers for attack, this is like, yo, like we're really about to like deal some heavy damage?
Yes.
Because we have other ways that we can fight, and that's not the way that like we're ideally always going to use. But it's like once we take them off and we start wielding them like swords, okay.
Yes.
Now you done pissed us off.
Yeah.
I'm not here for the play no more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I'll give you some basic weapons. So every character starts off with basic inventory elements, right? For some of them, it's like, yeah, you're going to get at least some basic armor. You're going to get some basic coins. You're also going to have like a water skin and some rope and flint, right? So that way you could start a fire.
Starter pack.
Yeah, you're going to also get like, here's some daggers, right? Or for your like certain classes will automatically have starters. Like you're going to start off with an axe, right? You're going to start off with a sword and a shield. So that's where we've determined. So we know, right, Mr. Bottom is going to be a moose character, right? We're flavoring it as a Loxodon, which is our elephant. So kind of same shape and body, like strength that we would build. We're going to go barbarian, right? Which means, we're going to go big hits. We're going to be right in the middle of the combat, face to face with all of it. Our hands are on our opponents, right? Half the time, we may not even need
our hooves,
a weapon.
Our hooves
are right on it. Like we're trampling. Absolutely. Right? So that we're all in on this space. So that's where we would then go back to our handbook, right? Now that we have an approach, like, okay, let me look up the stats of a barbarian. And that's going to lead me into our options. Now, since we're first starting out, don't start off with a high level, right?
Okay.
I wouldn't start at 1 either, because 1's too boring. Like, if you're level 1, you do nothing. Right? You're weaker than Krillin, okay? Yamcha doesn't even exist at this level.
You're just holding your candle. Yeah. Hope it doesn't get blown out.
You're like, you're going to be, it's going to suck.
I'm sharpening this axe. Yeah. Yeah. Use it, you know?
Yeah. So one is like a normal person. A little tiny goblin can murder you at that point.
Damn, nah,
yeah.
That's...
Yeah, it's not fun.
That ain't Moose Bottom. That ain't Joaquin Moose Bottom.
That's not how we're rolling. So we'll probably start at like a level 3 or up to a level 5. That's a great starting point where anyone begins. Don't get me wrong, it gets real wild once you get like to level 10, 15. Very few ever make it to level 20 because that means a long gameplay to get up to level 20. But that's like the max typically. So you cap out at level 20. That is where you are a god. It is only godlike issues and fights that you are getting at when you are at level 20.
Okay, so we got, Ultra Instinct at level 20. Level 1 through 3,
like you're fighting more goblins, their leaders, maybe an animated broom, okay? Right, but you gotta grow. You gotta get stronger, right, before you get to the bigger fights.
If Fantasia has taught us anything, them animated brooms be fucking shit up.
Yeah, don't trust it. Don't trust it.
Don't trust it.
When we're at level 20, will our recharge time decrease at that point? Will it only, would still be that six day window? Because I mean, I feel like if I'm out of
God, there's
a lot of time between level 3 and level 20. We'll decide then. All right,
cool,
maybe
cool, cool.
You grow stronger horns, right?
Ooh, okay.
Maybe they don't recharge as faster, but they hit for even more. Like, because you're older, you'll have more points to them, which means they can do more piercing damage.
I like it.
Right? Maybe it's like them, now it's right?
Okay.
Titanium antlers.
Yeah. Maybe you get like a special item, or one of your teammates like cast different spells on them that could strengthen them or coat them with different things, poison drip them.
When you take them off, like even like the aura that comes off of that, from just taking it off could deal damage around. Like you got to tell your people, hey, back up.
Yep. Back up. Well, and we could even apply
poisonous gas
to
come out of our antler holes, bro.
Listen.
Your antler holes?
Gas come out of there.
Around deer season when they're losing their antlers. Look at those antler holes.
Look at them antler holes.
That's the official scientific phrase for that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like right in Webster's, antler holes.
Oh, yeah.
And then the definition is holes where antlers used to be.
Exactly.
Super consistent across the board.
So like, this is the beginning. Like, you've built your character, right? We'll put out a character sheet, right? So D&D has one. And if you work with D&D Beyond that it has a partnership with, it's got a beautiful little character sheet. We'll go through, we'll select everything, and it's going to give you stats then. Like, so being the moose, you're going to have some natural stats that are going to be higher in strength, for example. All right, so you're going to have 6 key stats. You got your strength, your dexterity, you've got your wisdom, charisma, and your intelligence.
Okay.
You have, so depending on how people do it, some roll for it, some do a point by system. So like, you've got a max amount of points, you got to divvy them up between these. You can choose what is going to be your strongest stats. So for a barbarian, you're like, I want to put it in strength, right? Like, that makes sense. You're going to be able to hit harder. You're going to have a higher chance of being able to hit them, right? That works, right? And you might be like, listen, I'm going to be really stupid, so I'm not going to put anything in my intelligence.
I don't want to be a dumb brute.
I feel like mooses look wise. Have you ever looked a moose in the eyes?
Fair.
like there's some intelligence back there.
Who's looked a moose in the eye and lived? Come
YouTube.
On.
I've seen one on YouTube.
Because I want to go up against someone and be like, look, like, yeah, he's strong, but
but
dumb as rocks.
They're so dangerous, you don't have time to know how wise they are, because they just not know.
That's smart. Misunderstood. That's fair. Also, small PSA for everyone, don't approach a moose. Just ever. Everyone. Ever.
Ever.
They're super aggressive.
And they're not one of the standstill animals. They're the get the fuck out of here.
They're like, I'm coming for you.
Like, it's not like if we don't move, they won't bother. It's like, no, you gotta
perfect.
Run.
Now, I'm gonna tell you this. Out of these stats, right? Technically, intelligence isn't a good build for a barbarian. Okay. But here's where I say, as a DM, play the character you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Like, if we were like, I want to build the strongest character, then we're like, yeah, then we won't put any in intelligence. We'll put more of it in strength instead. Mm-hmm. But that's not who you want to be. And as a DM, I hear that. I'm like, awesome. I'm going to find opportunities for you to decipher books. Maybe even though you're a barbarian, right? As a DM, I get to choose to break rules. Like, maybe because you're so smart, you're going to be the one barbarian who might also be able to cast spells. I'm not going to make you even multi-class. Like, I could ask you to. I might just say you read because you read your book. You learn one-off spells every now and then.
Okay.
Right? So as a DM, I see you. And as a good DM, right? Like, that's why we talk. Like, you tell me what you want to do, and I'm going to find ways to support you as your DM. to amp you up, to give you the options that you want. You're like, all right, I want to be an intelligent brute. Love that. All right, so then we might put those there. Now that means we have to suck at something. What thing do you want to suck at?
For like,
we have wisdom,
moose,
charisma, dex.
Like dex. I feel like mooses aren't the most dexterous.
I thought you wanted high intelligence.
We could be smart and not and still trip over ourselves sometimes.
Well, oh, get it. No, this is fantasy. You want to see what it's like being smart.
We're only at the beginning. You know, we got to build the intelligence.
Yeah, okay.
You said it's a long way. We're learning.
Level 3 intelligence that we're working on.
Yeah. Being humble, we can,
Okay, so these stats are then going to determine all of our skill sets and when we roll a dice if we're successful. So typically, you're going to have a whole set of dice, right? You're going to have a D4, D6, D8, D10, D12, D100, and D20. The D20 is the most important one because it's the most fun to roll. Okay, if you roll a nat 20, that is, in most DM's books, an auto success. So when you roll a nat 20, you better go fucking wild, or else you're not deserving of it, right? Like, that's the big deal. You're like, I go to hit him, and I roll a nat 20. You're like, yeah! Not only do I hit him, but I do double damage now because it's a nat 20, right? Like, this is, like, our plus ultra moment. That's why you're like, rip those suckers off, and we go in with a full slashing moment, and you tear the flesh off of that bad guy. Blood is spewing everywhere. You've done so much damage that they begin to wither away.
Can we customize our attack? Like the one that's like the
Mm-hmm. So typically,
the big power one.
How it's going to go is like, I'm going to ask you, like, what do you want to do? You're like, I want to attack. I'm like, awesome, roll for it. And if it's successful, then I'm going to say, tell me how you hit them. And then that's your
best
roll.
Best shot.
No. I know this is technically a different episode, but
let's not get another one. So
that was bad. As the DM, know that we can punish you for anything and everything, including dumb jokes. Okay.
That's
your next turn. You're gonna have disadvantage.
Our charisma's high up. It gives them a morale boost to our team when we tell dad jokes.
We're back to just lighting candles at level 1.
Yeah, that's back. This is terrible. You should be embarrassed.
The better the joke, the bigger the morale boost is for the team.
Okay, so you're trying to be a bard. I get it.
Okay.
You're not a good
Moose
one, but you're trying.
Moose definitely plays the sitar, the ladle, whatever them things is. He definitely plays
Since
that.
You don't know what it is, I don't know if you actually
Our
play.
Intelligence isn't high, remember? We're still learning.
We're still higher learning. One compared to your other ones. So your performance will be based on your charisma. Right. If you didn't put your stats in your charisma, though, I would say, all right, you want to play this instrument to see if you inspire the rest of your team. I'll say, roll for me. Right. And you'll roll your D20. Right. And if you roll low, let's say it's a 4, like you try, you put your full heart into this song, plucking away at the chords. You're going at it, strumming wildly. And to the rest of us, it sounds like absolute garbage. We have no, like, none of the chords go together. It's absolute discord, painful to the ears. In fact, it's so bad that our ears start to hurt and we disorient ourselves.
Man, sorry,
right? Like, ruined this experience. Now, that is also, so we mentioned like the nat 20 being hecka awesome. There's the nat 1, which means absolute failure. All right, so if, let's say you're like, you were rolling your performance as you play your little guitar, right, option. Like, you roll a nat 1 on your performance check, right? Your charisma, trash on that end. You're playing so hard. Not only as you're strumming, like, you break it, all right, in that. But now, because it is so disheartening that you our talented player, who typically does well, you failed, it disheartens the entire group. And now everyone has disadvantage instead on their next turn.
Oh, we brought the morale down?
You ruined it. You hurt your ability, right? Like, that's going to be part of it. And so anything that you do, right, there's an opportunity for it to roll. A DM is going to tell you when you're going to roll. So you're like, you want to open a door? Roll. Right? And that may be a whole variety of things. Now, as a DM, I might know, like, this door is locked with a magical tool, right? So even if you roll really high on strength, you may not still be able to open it. But now you're like, I know that something else is here. And then it prompts other questions. So let's say that. Like, okay, let's say you cannot open a door. Like, you go up and you hold open the door. What might be things that you think of when I say you can't open this door?
It's locked from the other side.
Okay, that could be one option. Mm-hmm. What else? If we're in a magical fantasy place.
Is there some
sort
of...
magically locked from the other side.
Yeah, some spell that has it locked that I need to, you know, use a counter spell.
Okay.
That could,
so for both of you. So Maddie, I would say you give me a perception check to see if you determine if the lock is on the other side. Trav, I would say give me an arcana check to see if you can determine if magic is being used on this door.
Okay. Mm. And then third option, will we just try to brute force it?
Yeah. I would say give me a strength check.
See if you can
bombard through it. All right. And then you might say, okay, maybe all three of those. Like maybe you roll really low on your arcana. You're like, I don't know if it's magic. And you roll low on your perception. You're like, I can't even see the doorknob anymore. And you're really weak. Let's say even if you are a moose, right, you can still roll low. That's the reason why dice determine the story, right? You're like, maybe you roll in that one. You're like, you ram your shoulder in that door and it does not move. In fact, because you hit the door so hard, you take 1 point of damage because you hurt yourself in the process and not the door.
Right? Dang, Joaquin.
But then I might say, give me a perception check. And if any of you roll high enough, I might say, even though the door looks really strong, the wall next to it that's next to the door looks pretty weak and thin.
The open window looks good.
Yeah, the open window. Like, you're going to notice.
Route.
Turns out maybe you find some dynamite in a barrel somewhere, you know? Like, that's where you, as a DM, right, I'm going to try to describe options for you. But as a player, you have to think about how might I interact with this space? How might I interact with this situation? So if I, there's this big, you're in a bar, right? You're at a tavern, music is playing wildly. There's the barkeep that's wiping down the table and a big burly gentleman comes up and says, what are you doing here? And that's where you all get to think like, how would I interact with this situation? What do I want to do?
So, and then what about like another question that popped in my head when we were talking about the brute force one was, will there be any repercussions to doing that? Like, am I going to draw attention to myself that could lead to more headaches? Like, is that by doing the brute force, is that going to, you know, alert somebody that is like, oh, this person shouldn't be here. Let's check it out. And I necessarily am not equipped.
I like the way you think.
Yeah,
you know,
you're a good player.
I ain't trying to, you know, get surrounded by, oh, shit, what?
We didn't set off the silent alarm. God damn
exactly.
It.
I'm on day four of my antlers charging. Like, I can't do anything right now.
I can't do this yet. I can't.
I only got nubs. I got like two more days.
Every action you take will have a consequence. Not necessarily negative, but there is going to be effect. Because you're right. Like, if I barge down this door, maybe it's something really bad, right? Like, maybe, yeah, it alerts the castle, right? That everyone now knows that you're here and that they're under attack, which means you're going to get into a lot more encounter. You can't stealth it anymore, right? It may also mean that this was going to be a place that you can make your home. You all just didn't happen to get the key, and now you have to go buy a new front door, so it's going to cost you gold, right? Like, right. There are a variety of things. And so for your DM, I'm going to take the actions that you have, and I'm going to try to craft it into a story. Some are going to have lighter consequences, right? Some may be good things, like, all right, with that barkeep or the bartender that's there, it's like, what do you want here, right? You could choose to make him an ally, which means other people may not ally with you. You might get extra information because you've befriended him, right? Right, there's cause and effect for everything. And as a DM, like, I have to keep building out worlds, but I love it. That's where you should be thinking. It's not, I'm going to go through and we're going to murder hobo. That's a very common thing in D&D where players are like, we're going to be murder hobos and we're just going to go around and we're going to brute force and murder anyone and everyone that gets in my way. Some people love to play those sort of games.
Does that typically lead to a quick death? Because I feel like that's just a wild way to live.
That's the DM has to be like, I'm okay with you all being murder hobos. Others, though, if you want a long-term campaign, it's like, yeah, there are going to be consequences. You're going to have hordes of people,
people
ready to come for you. Yeah, they're like, no one's going to talk to you. Anytime you come visit a new town, it suddenly becomes a ghost town. Every door is barricaded shut. Yeah, it's the murder hobos. They've come to our town.
The door. Right?
So it's got to be the gameplay you want to play.
With your consequences and like reactions to actions, how much of that for you as a dungeon master are like pre-planned responses versus are you like thinking on the fly to like combat that?
So as a DM, I pick monsters appropriately. Even if I choose modules, I'll adjust them because I want them to challenge the players. So let's say, I've seen this before, right? Like, we all choose bards. We're a band. We're a traveling band, right? We're all musicians. We're all bards.
Murder hobos.
Yeah, of murder hobos, right? We kill them with our music, and if that doesn't work, then we bash them with our instruments afterwards. You know, whatever it is.
We send it to you before we wipe your town out. You're going to love it.
So I know that with bards, I, as your DM, I also know your stats. I know what you're capable of. And I don't want every encounter to be easy. So I'm going to choose monsters. Mm-hmm. I'm going to choose encounters that are going to challenge you, that are going to be different, that are going to make you cause or think about different things. And not all of them are going to be fighting. Maybe I, you know, cast an illusion where I look like your long lost sister. How do you interact? You've been murdering everybody else at this point. Are you also going to murder her? How do you convince your party members to not continue your killing spree of murdering everyone?
To go against everything you've been leading them on this past journey.
Yes.
Or like a cave troll that can't hear. How are we going to get them with our music, guys?
Yeah. Yes.
How are we
going to
get them?
Also, why do we think all cave trolls are bad?
It's always a cave troll. That's why.
Right. Seems unfair.
Everything's always a cave troll. Shout out to the cave troll community.
Yes.
Who,
cave trolls
who are out there just trying to get through the day.
Yeah. We see you. We see you.
You are seen.
Yes.
Said, we hear you. We hear
right.
you.
Right. We stand. Hashtag free cave trolls.
Right. Exactly. Now, when we get into it, like when we're talking about these encounters, right? I'll come up with bad guys. I'll give you puzzles. I'll give you challenges, all sorts of things, right? Heck, some of them are even talking like, can you get this person to tell you information? You might try to persuade, deceit, whatever it is, to get them whatever you want. Right? There's going to be all these opportunities. If it's a fight, right? D&D has rules around this. So you get an action, right? Where you're doing your moves, right? You attack, right? You get movement. Right? Most of them like 30 to 50 feet. It's pretty average, right? That's a lot of movement. There is also then when it's not your turn, right? A reaction. All right. You're like, oh, they hit my friend. I, as my reaction, try to shield them and protect them from that. So these are the modes in which, because it's everything at once and everybody wants to move in combat, we have to move to a turn-based order for that.
Okay.
So combat was like, when every time combat is going to happen, it's going to start with this iconic phrase. Roll for initiative. Da-da-da! Dramatic music begins to rise. Clashing of swords begins. And that will determine when you begin your turn.
Okay. And when it's your turn, like, how do you...
Yes.
I'm just speaking from a...
I'm right with you, bro.
Are we notified when it's our turn, or is it just kind of like, do you hop in when it's like, what's the, I guess, the cadence? I ain't trying to like just hop in.
This is great. So
someone be pissed
when I say
off,
roll
like,
for initiative,
damn, bro.
Yeah, so you'll roll a dice. Let's say, Trav, you roll a 16, Maddie, you roll a 14, and my big bad boss rolls a 19, which means my boss is going to fight first, then Trav, then Maddie, right? So the dice roll determines the order. So my big boss action is going to attack first, right? They attack and then they move closer to you. So like face to face, right? Then Trav, it's your turn, right? So you can choose to take your action. Like, do you also want to attack the big bad boss? Or maybe you cast a spell that supports Maddie, right? Whatever your action is, right?
Got it. Okay.
All right. And then you can choose to run away. Once your turn is done, then Maddie, it's your turn. And then we say, that's the end of the round. Everybody's gone. Then we start back at the top. Then it's big bad boss again.
And as I'm like determining my action, am I able to like say, like, hey, Matt, yo, I'm going to cast this spell that is going to now make the boss weak to fire attacks.
I'm thinking
if I do that, you can then come in next with your fire attack. And I think that's going to deal more damage or something like that. Or does it like, I would assume since you're with a party, you can kind of like, you know, coordinate or just figure out your strategy within it. Or, but yeah, like I wouldn't want to like do something and then like Matt do the same thing. It's like, well, we kind of just
double it up.
Just stuck
some,
here.
Some DMs don't like table talk. I would say flavor it as if you're the character. Like, so instead of saying like, Matt, you're like, Mr. Bottoms, I'm going to prepare an attack. Follow up with this. Like, then that works. Like, got as a DM, I'm like, that's party comm. Like, you're in, you're role playing it out. Go for it.
Oh, but like me being like, yo, Trav, I'm about to, I got you, bro.
Yeah.
They're like, no, bro.
It's like, most DMs aren't going to get upset at it, but it's more fun if you role play it.
Locked in. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like knowing your party essentially. Like if I'm like, All right, Matt, let's get it. I'm about to hit him with this fire spell.
Yeah.
Matt's like, bet, I got you, bro. Mm-hmm. And then come in with the
yeah. Maybe you need a cleric. You're like, I'm going in, but I need someone to heal me later because I'm about to die. Right? Like, you can ask for help.
Hey, let's come back tomorrow.
Yes.
has anyone ever, like, role-played in, like, a different manner? Let's say, you know, I'm about to go in for an attack, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What if the way that I communicate with it, hey, man, I'm about to fuck him up.
Yes, you can. Absolutely. Yes.
Hey, dog. Hey.
In fact, with that, I might even say, like, as a DM, because I love good RP, I'd be like, roll for intimidation. And if you intimidate and you're successful, I'm like, you're going to have advantage on your next attack, right? Like, he's not afraid. Like, you're going to what? You're going to do what to me? Please don't fuck me, right? Like,
I don't know what sounds mooses make when they're mad, but we made it.
You're right.
No. I want to hear it. You all, I want to hear your best moose.
I don't even know what that
sounds like. Sounds like a confused horse. Sounds
like an elephant moose.
And then you just like, then Matt's like, oh, he's bleeding. Yeah. He's bleeding. Yeah. Yo, down. Let's get him. Let's get him.
Word. On three. Break someone's clavicle.
Yeah.
Teamwork. Or just do it in the most calm manner.
Yes.
Listen, man. This attack right here, it's going to break your fucking arm.
Yeah, in fact, you can't do nothing about it. Put your arm around and bring him in close.
Just, I'm going to tell you, listen, you know how anime villains will tell like what they're about to do.
Tell the event.
This is my ultimate attack where I am going to sever you right through the throat and you won't be able to do anything about it. But look, like, I will stand here and tell you how to do it.
And then, like, yes. I mean, we going to stand there and listen. Like,
I'm just going to wait till you charge up. Sure. Okay. This is fine.
For three episodes.
Why
haven't I stopped you?
This is just art. I got to witness this.
It is ill, though, when a villain will, like, say exactly what they're going to do, and then the other side is like, I can't.
That shit.
Yeah. Nothing I can
or
do
just
against
stuck
that.
Here.
Like, you got a pimp? I can't stop
right.
you.
Cool. Like, well, happy for you.
Well, I guess I'll just start my walk to the pearly gates, because
she's
about to kill
we're
me.
We're out. Well, and that's where, when you think about these things, too, when people see encounters, they think always fight. But remember, just like with the door, right, you can engage in it different ways. Maybe you try to persuade them. Maybe you set up a trap. Maybe you run away. It's okay to run away. Like, if you're level 3, I'm going to tell you right now as a heads up, you all cannot beat a dragon. Not face-to-face, front-up capture, right? Like, you ain't going to be able to pull that off. As cool as a moose as you might be, right? So then you have to think, like, if I have to get this dragon's horde, if that's my mission, how else might I go about it? Mm. And if I have to encounter that dragon, how do we run away, right?
Can we dig holes underneath the dragon?
You can try.
What's a dragon's, what's their weak spot?
Their bellies, as it turns out. But if you go around and you talk to people, you might discover a particular weakness of this particular dragon. Maybe it can't say no to cupcakes. And so you get cupcakes and you lure it out here, right? Like, or you offer a trade. Maybe you like cupcakes more than that gold you've been hoarding.
What flavor cupcakes?
Yeah, that's what you got to find out. If you give it rhubarb, it may be absolutely upset at you.
Dragons take me as red velvet likers. It's like they like red velvet cupcakes.
Who doesn't, though? That cream cheese icing?
Oh, oh.
Yeah.
A dream.
Turns out they like funfetti.
So, yeah. Because it's a party. They
dragons
love those sort of things.
Like funfetti,
I'm going to be sick, though, if they like funfetti. Because now you're digging into my personal stash.
Word,
so you know what?
Share
this belly stab, I'm going to twist it a little bit harder because I had to give up my funfetti cake.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
That's at a loss for you.
Right. So I'm taking it personal.
Yes.
Now. I'm taking it personal.
Damn, you better get a fair trade for it because that's a lot for you.
Got the funfetti in the left and the shank in the right.
Yeah. It's hard, though, because funfettis are only reserved for parties. You can't have funfetti any other time. You can't just be like, oh, I'm coming over to hang out with my friends and I'm bringing funfetti cupcake.
That's why the dragon yearns for it, because who invites dragons to parties? No one.
Brilliant. Wow. See, when I hear them, like, that's creative. If you all throw this dragon a birthday party, you may even have an ally as
cracked
a dragon.
The code.
Yeah, now, they're not going to join your party, but in the rarest of moments when you need them the most, a one-time call for a dragon to come to your aid.
And the one-time call be one of those things.
Yeah, you can make it whatever the party wants.
Yeah, the party wants.
Yo, how ill would that be? They they think I'm about to, I'm going to do a little like fake out. I'm gonna, like, act like I'm about to grab the antler and be like, got the whistle.
God, dragon comes swooping in, sprinkling funfetti all over the ground.
Yeah.
There's a pardon now. Yes.
They're like, I have the ultimate counter to your antler and annihilation.
Oh, yeah.
No, you don't, because I'm not using it, man.
Been hiding this whistle in my antler hole.
Yes. Yes.
It's only available. The whistle is only available when your antlers are recharging, because it pops up from there.
See, this is it, though. Like, you all are being creative. If people just go like, I'm going to the default story of I see a dragon, I fight it. That's it. There's nothing else to it, right? It's more simple. But when you're like, I'm going to throw the dragon a birthday party. Oh, we're going to get a very different story now.
Yeah, I'd rather have a dragon on my side.
Thanks.
What?
Yeah.
A party dragon? What?
Yes. And people are like, oh, my DM, like, it's just a boring story. I'm like, are you just doing boring things, though? Are you giving your DM any, like, they may pose really cool situations to them, but if you just choose the boring option every single time.
Right.
Nah, we ain't doing that.
No.
We have some party dragons around here.
So I think based on this, we've determined that when we do our, we have to do a one shot.
Yeah. We're going to do a dragon birthday party one shot.
Let's go. Let's go. This is going to be great.
Does the dragon prefer a certain genre of music? Like, I'm trying to really find out.
I'm going to send you to different vendors.
I'm trying to really win this dragon over.
Are you going to be able to find a big enough bouncy house?
A bouncy house that can even like sustain the bounces of a dragon.
Yeah, that's going to be hard.
That's facts.
Like, come on.
You might have to do a mini mission questions. To find
we
the material for that.
Might have to enchant a bouncy house. We got to enchant it, bro.
We have to find the materials to craft, but we have to even like find the crafter or whatever they're called and see if they'll do it for us.
Exactly.
And then what we need to even do to like earn their trust.
They too like funfetti.
Yes. Yes. Lucky you. Turns out everyone loves them.
That's why the dragon lives by this village and has been tormenting it, because they got all the funfetti.
This is more important than gold is the funfetti. That is the most valuable resource in this world.
Funfetti and birthday parties. That's what this village does the best.
Yes.
Oh, and then if we're able to have this dragon as our ally and it's no longer torturing this village then becomes a new like resting spot for us if we want to, you know,
base.
Like
it's on base.
Yes,
and, like an addition. Ooh, come on, man! We setting up shop.
That's
we
on Moose Bottom.
Oh, man,
cooking,
come on!
I'm hearing all
bottom,
this.
Now we here.
I don't know where I'm gonna find maps for this or enough funfetti at the end of the day. I'm gonna
put out
introduce
a board off of Mario Party.
One more phrase for y'all. There, there is the use of imagination. So some D&D, they'll bring maps, they'll have players, right? Or you'll probably see like even the minis, right? You take them on the map, you move them around. Some do it just by imagination.
I'm down
and for especially
that.
When you're doing really chaotic things or you don't have money to pay for art.
<That's>
or it's just a one shot. You're like, we're only going to use it once. We're going to use our imagination. So then it'll just be by description only, which is all
okay,
fine.
Yeah.
Again, it's the idea of like D&D can be played so many different ways. I don't want to hear people like, I can't afford to play because I don't have a map. Right, or I can't buy my NPCs and I can't pay for them. You don't need those. You just need an imagination. You need somebody to tell a story. One of my favorite, like, if you don't even afford the D&D modules, that's okay. Make up your own story, right? We just did the dragon's birthday party. Like, that's not a module. Right. No one wrote that out there, but we're going to turn it into one, right? It's collective storytelling. So
I'm with that.
Yes, it can be a free choice, right? You can play this game for free. Find the right table that tells the story, the ridiculousness that you want to do, and you're going to be good to go.
People, come sit at our table.
Let's party with us. At the birthday village.
We should put a cap though. Two people is the minimum. Four is my max comfortable. Some will do up to six. After that, you got too many people. Like, imagine
too many
sitting
in the kitchen
when you're going through a conflict, right? And everyone's fighting. You're like, I gotta wait for seven other people to go before it's my turn.
Right,
you're gonna fall asleep. Yeah, it takes way too much time, and you can't connect with everyone. So, put a cap. Don't do mega parties.
Our one shot will be us three.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm with that.
Easy.
I'm with that. Let's get it.
More than enough.
Perfect.
Sign me.
We have to come to that live stream though with cupcakes.
Yes. Funfetti. Funfetti.
Actually, I'll bring the thing. What is that called?
Yeah.
It's not a kazoo. Like, what's that called? Like, that thing that unravels. And you're like, I'm about to Google it. We've Googled everything else.
We need to Google it. Dear internet.
Birthday noise maker. See what it's called.
Tiny, tiny whistle.
Yes.
Thin, tiny, thin whistle.
It's
That's
at Party
what
City, I swear.
Are y'all ready for this?
Yes.
What's the
Is
official
it obvious?
Term?
Should we have known it?
Look, like, it's so obvious that I'm not surprised that we wouldn't have got it.
Ah, dang it.
So.
What is it?
It's just called a party blower.
What? No.
Nah, we gotta rename
also,
that.
No.
Sometimes, I guess, like, the scientific name is blowout whistles, which, like, it's literally
I'm
just.
I'm sorry, wait. The scientific name? We're doing studies with the blowout
study,
whistles?
Study show. What? So, you know, like, we call them, like, wolves, but there's, like, the scientific name.
Yeah,
like,
okay,
whatever
okay.
it is. Yeah. So, it's like, it's a party blower, but then it's also referred to as a blowout whistle. So, it's literally just describing what it does. Like,
those are terrible names either way.
They designed it and then forgot, and they were just like, yo, we gotta come up with a name.
Yeah, that's
and
like then, calling the frisbee a disc thrower. Like, that's not, you can't.
That probably,
you gotta give
like,
it something fun.
This probably was the original name.
probably disc thrower.
Disc
you throw
thrower.
The disc done. Name checked off. Listen, coming up with names is hard. If anyone needs a like help, fantasy name generator is a great resource. Because I'm also terrible at coming up with names. Obviously, for today, we went with Mr. Bottoms, which is a great name.
That's a great name.
It's a great name.
Jerome Moose Bottoms.
Jerome Moose Bottoms.
First,
that's our
first of his name.
Perfect. Yes. Yes.
First of his name.
Probably the last.
It's possible. our intelligence isn't that high. We're still like, loading up. But once we get level 20.
And once we get there, it'll be easy, right? Now your DM and you can talk. You're like, listen, I want to go higher up. Here's the thing. When you go to higher levels, there's a lot more things you have to keep track of, which is why I don't recommend ever starting at higher levels. Even like for one shots, like, hey, you want to come in and just do a level 18? I'm like, no, that takes too much work. I don't want to have to choose all the spells. I don't want to choose all the weapons. Like, it's so much more that you have to put together. And then when you're in the middle, you're like, I don't even remember half the things that I can do because the list is so long. Starting at level 3 allows you to grow with your character and start to become familiar with the skills that you can do. So you're not leaving something at the table like, what? I could dodge extra attacks. And when I dodge, I don't even take half damage anymore. This whole time I could have been taking zero damage. I'm like, why didn't I know that? I'm like, I was resistant to poison. I didn't even know where that was on my card. You know, like.
Jerome has been out here taking maces to the face. I could have ducked this whole time.
Turns out it's just psychological damage. You weren't actually taking damage. You just thought in your head you were taking damage.
I thought I was getting fucked up.
Yeah. Like, I'm done. Like when you're, I didn't know I can swim, and you're like dying and drowning in 2 feet of water. You know, like,
just stand up, Jerome.
Yeah, just stand, you're fine. You're tall.
You're
you didn't
moose.
Know that.
You're a moose.
Like, come on, you're not a fairy. You're bigger than this.
Oh, Jerome.
Oh, Jerome. Poor
what a
Jerome.
Guy. What
yeah,
a guy. Jerome. Moose
Never forget.
Bottom. Jerome Moose Bottom might be the new name of this episode.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
Has to.
For the second part.
Yeah.
Joaquin Bottoms part one, Jerome Moose Bottom part two.
Yes.
Perfect.
Book it. Oh man, Beck, but we could literally talk to you all day. And we are, like Travis said, once you come on once, like, you are forever repeat guests. We're already setting up our one shot. We definitely got to get that down in the books. Before we let you enjoy the rest of your day, let the people know how they can support you, where they can find you, what you got going on.
Sure. On X, formerly known as Twitter, you can find me as Beck Godsey. Everywhere else, though, it's Caustic Phoenix, because then I got my head straight when it came to branding. So that's a lot easier. All right, I'm on Twitch. I got some YouTube shorts, TikToks when I remember to TikTok, which is not right now, but every now and then. So come hang out with me. I do Destiny, I do RPGs, and I do D&D. It's all a fun time.
Big faction. Trav, you know, I always love to give you the last word. Any words of wisdom that you want to bestow upon our listeners?
Be wise. Listen, be great.
You know, I don't know if I have any wise words, but all I can say is that y'all better be looking out for Jerome Moose Bottom, because
he's on the way.
The smartest moose ever.
The smartest, most charismatic bard.
Streets ain't safe. Moose Bottom is here. I'm telling y'all
right
now.
Watch out, murder hobos.
Moose Bottom. I need this as a business card. Like, Bottom. Moose
Jerome
Bottom.
Moose Bottom Esquire.
Yes.
Nah, but for real, y'all did not miss when she said that this would be a great interview. 1,000. And you know, we look at the time and we've
got
already
two
like,
whole episodes out of this.
Yeah, and this was gold. This was great, you know. Definitely want to do the one shot, definitely, yes. You know, and if there's ever anything in the nerd war or anything that you want to promote that you just want to hop on and shoot the shit with us,
come back.
Yeah, the door is always open.
Oh, so. I do have like something. Yeah, no, oh my god, I totally forgot. I just
wow, get it off.
Yeah, my partner. We just kicked off season 5 of D20 Deathmatch. It's our D&D show. That's like D&D PvP. I got it later. You know, it's every Sunday night. Oh my gosh, I'm a mess. We just kicked it off. Think promote WWE that. Comic style. Like we have larger than life characters. They come that's on. D&D is not normally a PvP. That's why we made it our own thing, right? Okay. So like here we are doing ridiculous role play where characters go plus ultra, super saiyan, right? Like all massiveness in play.
I love
that. So it's a hoot and a hanny of a time. Come join us. Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern. Over on
Sunday
YouTube.
Nights, 9 p.m. Eastern.
D20 Deathmatch. Okay. Yeah, Eastern. We're East Coast. Wow. East Coast is the best coast.
East Coast is the best coast.
You're not wrong there.
You're not wrong
Thank
there.
Thank you.
Well, Lifers. We call you guys the Lifers because you quite literally put the L into DB for L. Mm-hmm. So to stay up to date with everything Matt, Trav, and Caustic Phoenix herself, just click the all-powerful link, Tree of Might, in the description. I don't know why I always point down. They can't. This is an audio podcast.
Look at
but
this.
I do right it here. Every time.
Eventually, they'll be like, it'll like this. Like,
all-powerful link, Tree of Might, that will be in the description of this video, as well as Bex, all her socials where you can find her. Her death match. We're gonna promote the hell out of everything.
Hell yeah.
It's gonna be in the description. And like we always say here on Dragon Ball for Life, whether you watch it or you read it, we all need it. So open up your nerd eye and we will see you next time on Dragon Ball for Life. Dodon Ray. Shout out to Super Producer Mike and Paul.
And shout outs to Yali.
All cats.
Cats.
Bye. Later, nerds. Yes. We want